6, verse 10. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified because it's louder, right? So praise God. So Ephesians 6:10, it says, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from Him and be empowered through your union with Him and in the power of His boundless might. Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of heavenly armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil." Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the spirit of truth. And Father, I thank you for the armor that you give each and every one of us. Father, I thank you for the spirit of God that lives and dwells. Lord, Lord, no greater strength than the Holy Spirit and power that dwells on the inside of us. Father, I pray, Lord, let us be changed by your word today. Give us a heart to receive, eyes to see, and ears to hear. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Excuse me. Ephesians 6. I think I had 12 passages of scripture that I wanted to share with you this morning, and I had to narrow it down to this passage, and I will share some other passages. Spill that all over himself. So, come as you are. I think that was always something that I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me, and I still operate with that. Come as you are, but don't stay as you are. Come as you are, but don't stay as you are. And I thought. Well, That's a good motto. That's a good motto. Come as you are, because see, we all come to Christ. And I was a mess, to be honest with you. I needed a Savior. I needed the Lord, and I realized my dependency upon Him time and time again. And I'm going to be honest with you, very transparent, that some 12 years now being in full-time ministry, I think it's something like that, 12 or 13 years, my dependency for Him is even greater now, than when I believe I first got saved. To be mindful of that, though, it is so important to be mindful of my dependency upon Him, because in my own self, I'm not good. In my own self, I can't do what Christ can do through me. And I find this passage, very. It's not a challenge, but it's what's been given to me. I think that I want you to connect to this today, because you've been given precious things, and above all else, you've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That when you get saved, that when you confess Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, that Spirit is the new man. The Spirit is now alive, and there's no greater. There's no greater weapon. You talked about the weapon of giving. God give us the Holy Spirit. There's nothing greater than what Jesus was promising His people, and that what we have access to. Praise God. As I was thinking about this, I wrote down key things this week, and it's kind of how I prep and prepare. I listen for a word. You think sometimes it's easy, right, just to grab a word from the Lord. But I was listening this week very intently for a word, and I heard the word refreshed, and I thought, okay, well, I like that word. Anybody like that word, refreshed? I that's a great word. And then it was like Friday into Saturday. I was kind of honing some things down, and I was like, man, this is good. I'm refreshed, renewed, praise God. And then I listened to some things this week, and I was just sitting down yesterday, and I heard this more or less cliche, and I heard facing the giants. And I was like, well, how does that go along with refreshed, Lord? This is my preparation day, right? I build up to, I've got notes, I've got everything. facing the giants. Maybe I need to watch that movie. That's where my thing, you know, maybe I just, I don't know if anybody's watched the movie Facing the Giants. I thought, well, maybe I need to watch that movie. And I realized something very quickly, that the Lord was showing me something. He was showing me something in scriptures, and I realized the importance of Ephesians chapter 6. I just stopped and I just began to breathe, and I realized the importance of the passage of this. It's very profound. It's a very powerful passage of scripture. But in the first part of this, you'll see that, you know, Paul recognizes something. He says, you know, there's an enemy to your faith. He's always scheming. He's always, he's a deceiver. We understand that. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the structure of the enemy, because understand something, he's defeated. He's defeated. And I realize that in my own self, that, you know, I have the power to defeat everything that the enemy throws at me. When I was in high school, I remember going out for football my freshman year. Some of you guys might remember this, I was small. I was I literally, when I weighed in for football, I put weights in my shoes because I didn't want the coach to think I weighed so less. And so I went in and weighed in, and I strapped something to the bottoms of my shoes so I would be taller. Because, you know, I didn't want to be seen as that 5'5", 105, 110 pounds, scrawny looking, kid. I wanted to be, my brother was a senior that year. He was 6'2", 240 pounds. He was a big boy. And my brother could hit people. He was a great defensive lineman. But I wanted to be big, big in the sense of bigger than what I was. My freshman year of high school, I don't know if anybody's played football, but, a lot of times you end up in a place or a position where you're like the scrub defense, and you're playing against the varsity offense. That was me. That was me. I remember the first scrimmage practice of pads, that I had went out on the field, and here I was, truly 5'5", 105, 110 pounds, with my pads maybe 110 pounds. And I looked across the line at people like my brother that was 6'2", 240 pounds, and the line was big, and running backs were, they were 100, 180. They were a big bunch of boys for Ritchie County. I mean, it was a small school. And I looked across, and I could just see it was like giants. They were like giants. And when you're facing something, you're facing an adversity, or you're facing something, sometimes what you see can really like throw you off, right? You can be, at first I had this feeling of intimidation. I realized something very quickly, that I could either participate, get involved, or I was going to get hurt. And what I mean by that was that I couldn't just stand there and get ran over. It was going to take my participation. So here I was at 105 pounds as a freshman in high school. When they ran the 28 and 39 sweep and I was outside linebacker, I was going at it 110%. I got rolled 95% of the time. But there was a 5% chance that I would miss that back and be able to grab that guy, grab the running back by the ankles and tackle him. And that's how I spent my freshman year. But actually, my freshman year, I got to play varsity ball, because I knew something, that if I was going to face giants, I wasn't going to quit. I was going to have a fight in me. Now, I want to say this, because it's important that you have a personal fight in you. Amen. That you have grit. Grit is something. It's important that you have some natural fight in me. These were things that I believe that was instilled, probably from my parents, from people that I grew up with. Growing up with a brother that was 4 years older, and learning some hard things, learning some hard lessons. It's important that you have grit. But above all else, I want to tell you something. The most important thing that you can have as a Christian and as a believer is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Amen. Is the Holy Spirit working in your life? I know we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's I know how important the Holy Spirit is. How important we need to listen to. How important we need to hear the things that He's speaking to us individually, to us corporately as a body. It's important. Amen. You know, there's I wrote this down, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but there, you know, when I thought about this yesterday, and I thought, you know, about the enemy's attacks or the schemes. You guys understand that there's schemes can conclude of a lot of things, but I wrote down these three things because I believe that the enemy will come in these three areas. He'll come in through distractions. He'll come in through discouragement, and of course, he'll come in through schemes. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Distractions are, you know, what does a distraction do? It throws you off. You can be 100% going where you need to go. You ever get lost? You ever be riding with your wife and she get lost? Amen. I'm just joking. Miranda's not here, so she just, you know, always said that, honey, let me drive because you will end up somewhere else. So, because, you know, I asked Miranda the other day because she was in California, are you going north or south? And she's like, I don't know. We're going to Merced. So I said, you're going north. And she was like, so Fresno south. I said, yeah, because she doesn't pay attention to directions a lot of times. And she doesn't have to because I drive. But not that she can't figure it out. But the enemy will come. He'll come through distractions. He'll come through discouragement. And he'll come through schemes. And we understand this about the enemy. You know, the enemy, can we just give you something? Because, see, he knows, the enemy knows, he knows the Word of God. He understands what the Scriptures say. So if there's one thing in his scheming that he wants to do, he wants to keep you away from unlocking the promises of God for yourself. So that's why the distractions, that's why the discouragement, because once you begin to obtain and once you begin to lock into, no, God's Word says, no, God I can have this through the Lord. It begins to eradicate the patterns of thought. It begins to eradicate that hold that the enemy can have. So it's so important that, you know, because, you know, I wrote this down because even in distraction and discouragement and the scheming, you know, the enemy will many times, he likes to come and mess with our health. Now, you know, he likes, you know, something, you know, now there are things that we personally do to our health as well, but the enemy, you know, if he can get a hook in an area of our lives around health, man, when you feel bad, you don't feel like doing it. You know, anybody with me? You don't feel like when you don't you know, maybe you can pray, but you don't feel like dancing when you feel bad, right? You don't feel like you don't feel like going a little bit further, jumping into the reading of the Word, fighting for it over and over and over again when you don't feel well. But through distractions, through discouragement, through the schemes, he'll come against our health. The enemy will do that. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:8, and I love this passage because, you know, people want to debate this. It says, concerning the things Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. He said, concerning these things I have pleaded with the Lord three times that he might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. You know, what was sent to him? People want to say, well, you know, was it sickness, disease? You know, he's concluding, he's saying something in the passage, but it was an attack. It was a buffeting spirit that was sent to Paul. That was his infirmity. It was a spirit. It wasn't, you know, it doesn't say it was blindness. It doesn't say it was deafness. It was a buffeting spirit. And I want you to see something, because as we go through this passage, we have to understand the warfare that is actually taking place. Paul in Ephesians 6 is saying something to us here. He's saying, look, this isn't an earthly battle that we're in. This isn't an earthly battle that we're fighting. This is a very spiritual battle. So it's not like that we as Christians can put our heads in the sands and hope things happen for the best. No, we have to go after these things spiritually. I felt quickened this week so deeply, you know, as I begin to pray, you know, to pray in the Holy Spirit even more. Because I need that working, not to be locked. I need that working in my life. So can I give you this? Because I prayed in the Spirit, so I would know how to pray in my understanding, to pull down and to unlock and to break strongholds. Amen. You know, and believing and praying that way. You know, just other distractions. You know, in the 21st century, I would say, you know, even one of the greatest distractions is technology. I'm not against technology. I'm for it. I'm for the advancement of God's word going forth. It's how the gospel will be heard across the nations. It's through technology. But technology can be a distraction. Right? You can be easily pulled away from, you know, 12 hours of TV. You know, I realized this many years ago when I taught in schools. You know, the average kid, the average teenager, you know, 12 to 14, spent on an average of 38 hours on TV and technology a week. 38 hours. That's a lot of time. I don't know what it is now. I don't. But if we're spending that kind of time with things in the world, it easily pulls us away and can cause and be a distraction in our life. God's wanting us to get our focus. He's wanting us to get our focus. He's wanting us to get our focus. And I see it. I see what you guys. Do you feel the rumblings? Do you feel what God's getting ready to do on earth? He is and has been pouring out His Spirit. Don't miss me, Lord. It's been my prayer. It's been my plea. Don't. You know, it's not going to miss me. But I can't be like the five foolish virgins. Five were ready. Five were not. Because I was distracted. I was distracted. You know, Martha and Mary. You know, one brought the better service before the Lord. The other one was just running around, just trying to do everything. Sometimes we have to stop, because see, we can think that even in our running and doing everything, that you know, that we're doing good, but that can be a distraction from the full purpose God has for you in your life. You know, so it's one of the things that I you know, even with teams, as this church is growing, one of the things, you know, I always tell people, you know, you don't have to be everywhere every night when there's a life group. But let me say this. Some people need to be there every night, every time the church comes together and meets. That's what the church's purpose is. You know, I was that guy. I needed to be in it as much as I could be in it, because it was helping me. Amen. You know, worry. Another distraction is worry. You know, we can, worry can be a distraction. Worrying about others, worrying about a job, worrying about, you know, things that can cause distractions. Understand that this is how the enemy schemes. He's all the time scheming, but I've got good news. I've got good news, because see, God's put something in us. And he's given us the armor of God. He's given us the armor of God. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, the purpose of the armor given to the child of God is so that we stand. It's so that we stand. That in a day of adversity, as the wiles of everything the enemy's trying to throw at us, it's that we stand. That we don't have a retreating mindset. You know, it's so that we would stand. So that we would stand. See, the enemy's just hoping you back up. That's That's why he's relentless. He's relentless in the sense that he's just hoping that you back up or you take a step back. You just take a step back and or maybe you look back. Oh, it was better over there. It was better over there. I'm going to tell you this. It's always better moving forward. See, and faith always moves forward. Faith doesn't look back. Faith is always moving forward. Faith is always moving forward. The times I've looked back, transparent, it's never turned out well. If I could just do that one more time. See, his oil is fresh and new every day. It is. So it's important that we have a mindset of moving forward. You know, as a believer, I want to say this because, you know, I can talk about football, I can talk about having grit and having all these things, but there are important characteristics that we have. Godly character is important, but above all else, that you have the strength of the Lord in you. Because, see, that's what's going to help you win. The strength of the Lord is at work within you. So, you know, when we come to whatever it is, we stir that up. I'm not even going to talk about obstacles, but when we come to the good things of the Lord, we keep those things stirred up. We maintain a level of keeping things stirred up. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. I love in 1 John 4, you know, he made us alive. He made us alive. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass," you know what he did? He made us alive. "Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved and raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come we might show the exceeding riches of his great and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." I'm going to tell you, fall in love with the book of Ephesians right now. You want to grab a hold of some deep revelation? Fall in love with the Word of God in the book of Ephesians. Because see, if we catch this revelation of what we possess and what we can have in Him, it's in Him, it's in Him. You'll see it time and time and time again in Christ Jesus. It's by the grace of God in Him. It's not within me. I'm not good enough. I can't, but in Him I can. That's why this armor, you know, it's why, you know, you think about the breastplate of righteousness. Holy living is necessary to push back the enemy. Holy living, you know, the breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate protect? It protects the heart. The heart. And the issues of life, the Bible says out of Proverbs chapter 4, the issues of life flow through the heart. So, you know, I think sometimes it's like, you know, the full armor of God is something that, you know, we've got to truly tap into. Because listen, if you have the sword and you have the shield, but you don't have a breastplate of righteousness, you're not living right before. You can have the words, you can have the shield, but you're still open. You're open to attacks. I think the armor around the armor around the heart is probably, you know, I know the Word of God is, you know, that's what we fight with. But if that's left bare, our heart's left bare, you know, the issues of life flow from the heart. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have to protect your heart. That's later in my notes. But see, what does the Word, and you'll find this in the book of Ephesians, what does the Word declare about you? See, the enemy knows. Let me go back to just saying that, because the enemy knows the Word. He understands the Word. So that's why the schemes, that's why the planning, that's why all the deceit is, because if he can keep you from the Word, he keeps you under rule. But see, I'm not under rule. And see, that's the fight that we have to. I'm not under rule. If sickness comes on me, it's not above me. Jesus Christ is above me. If worry, if guilt, if condemnation, see, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I grab a hold of a promise. So when I think, well, I feel condemned, I feel like this, No. I take the Word of God and I apply the Word of God. I apply the blood of Jesus to whatever it is, all the schemes, all the wiles, all the stuff. No. Because God's given me that. See, it's the distractions. It's the distractions of the world. It's the distractions of people. You know, Minister Marsh shared with me the other day, she's like, I hope you don't mind, but we had ladies' life group the other night. We were there till 11 o'clock. 11:30. Let me correct that. 11:30. Do you think I mind? No. If a meeting stretches on, you know, we do have things around life groups. And, you know, I think I said? I said, did you get some ministering in? Because that's it. That's what will break things through. You know, it's taking that time to minister to one another, to be strong in one another, to be strengthened by one another. That's the working of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. Where two or more, amen. Guys, there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. You know. Sent a go team to, you know, I think it's 8 or 9 people went to Unity this weekend. There's strength in numbers. See, God's behind that. What does the Word declare about you? What does the Word declare about you? By His stripes, we were healed. We are healed. It's a promise. Stand on it. I'm blessed. You know how hard it is when you hear that, and the first time you heard that in church, you know you're gonna be the head and not the tail, blessed above and beyond, amen. You're like, well, you know, I'm, you know, because for me, you know, this is the honest truth. The first time I heard that, you know, it's like, well, God wanted to bless me. I was like, well, you know, I'm doing all right. You know, and you know that, you know, false humility, it's called pride, steps in. Because that's what it is. Can I be honest? It's pride. It's because if you don't have the revelation of what God wants to pour into you, you'll hold on to every form of pride. False humility is a type of pride. I remember having that feeling. Well, you know, who does that pastor think he is telling everybody they're blessed? I look around the room, not everybody's blessed. See, that was an attitude that I once had that God had to rip out of my heart. Because it was an issue. It was an issue of the heart. You know how you fix issues of the heart? You live holy. You live holy and you start getting things right with God. You start letting Him touch things. You start letting Him touch your mouth. You start letting Him touch forgiveness issues. I've had testimonies this week come in, you know, that people have said, you know what, I stepped into the realm of forgiveness and it's brought healing to my life. Where I've had this issue for 20 years, 30 years, I stepped into an area of forgiveness, and instantly I felt God's presence come over that situation. See, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's getting our armor on. Amen. That's getting into a place where we're saying, you know what, I'm going to put my armor on today. See, can I say this? Because see, you've got it, but you got to put it on. You got to put it on. Too many naked Christians out there with no armor, walking around like, you know, scared, afraid. That's the truth, though, that people, I used to have it, but, you know, I just don't have that anymore. You never lose it. You can give it away, but you never lose it. And so too many people are giving things away. You know, I don't need my sword. I don't need to pray anymore. We preach about these weapons. First service will be a little different than second service. We preach about the armor of God. But you know what Paul says? You know, and I believe it to be 7 and even 8 weapons that are given to us out of this passage of Scripture. He concludes, and he begins to conclude, that the weapon of prayer is also given to the believer. That's why we're a church of praise. You know, and I know we're changing things up on Sunday morning. We'll figure that out. You know, I threw something in on everybody, you know. But, you know, I walk downstairs and everybody's downstairs up and praying. I walk upstairs, everybody's up and praying. I know the importance of prayer. God knows the importance. It's from him. It's not the importance of prayer. That coming together. Amen. We've got to establish and step into what the Word says about us. Guys, we win. Can I tell you that the enemy knows that we win? He knows the end. He knows the end. The world doesn't know anything. Can I be honest? The world has a mindset of me. I. That's the world mindset. But we win. So if we win, how do we stay winning? It's through establishing the promises of God in our heart. It's through saying, you know, no, this is what the Word says. This is, you know, let me conclude with, this is what the Word says. I've been forgiven. You know the enemy knows that? You imagine how, you know, isn't that cool? I'm forgiven, and there's nothing he can do about it. He went to a cross and died for me. It's completed. The keys of the kingdom of heaven have been given to whom? Us, the children of God. So that we could begin to unlock everything that God has for us. Amen. You know, let me just jump back into this passage. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his power. This is out of the New King James Version, actually. But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, these weapons, the weapons of the world aren't going to work. These are spiritual things that we as believers have to learn how to fight at. Can I tell you, the Bible is very spiritual. It's a weapon. It's a spiritual weapon. It's the sword. The Word of God is the sword. You fight against spirits with the Spirit, with the declarations, with the promises of God. You know, if we spend all of our, you know, I think about the battle sometimes, and, you know, and I'm, praise God, you know, I'm looking at a group of people that I feel like, you know, you've won, and you're winning, amen? There might be an attack here or there, but, you know, but you're winning. If we spend all of our energy on the seen things, we'll never be able to recognize the unseen things. Paul's saying something here in Scripture. He's saying, look, there's a battle that's raging. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. There's things that are dark that are out there. They're spiritual. Don't put your head in the sand. Be ready. You don't get a vacation as a Christian. I think sometimes I'm just going to take some time off as a believer. How's that working out for you? How's that work? You don't get a break. At whatever point in your life you think, well, I'm just going to go chill and I'm going to take a break and the enemy doesn't take a break. God doesn't sleep. He doesn't take a break, right? He's always wanting to release into you his promises, for you to grab a hold of his word, his promises, so that you stand. Above all else, that you stand. Above all else, that you stand. You know, the schemes, I wrote this down last night, and as I was thinking about it, you know, the scheming and the, and that's the thing, they go wherever you go. You know, well, if I just run over here, I won't have to deal with this. You know, when I moved to Hawaii, I dealt with stuff. I dealt with, you know, things that I had to learn how to stand in. When I come back to West Virginia, there was a greater battle in certain things that I had to learn how to deal with. And the things that I had was I had to depend upon the Word. I had to depend upon it in prayer. You know, you take yourself out of anything for any amount of time, you open up the window. You open up the place where the enemy can come in. So it's like, you know, no, I'm gonna get back in this thing. I'm gonna put the helmet of salvation on. Amen. Because what does that protect? It protects your mind. The helmet of salvation, that word sozo, it protects your mind. No, I have promises through my salvation. I thank you for Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, that I'll be, my mind would be transformed. The renewing of my mind. I stand upon it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, present your body as a living sacrifice. I present, Lord, here I am. I won't conform to the patterns of this world, but I'll be transformed by the renewing of my mind in your word. See, you can quote that scripture, but if you're not tapping into the renewing of your mind, renewed mind, it doesn't mean anything. It's like prayer. It doesn't mean anything a lot of times if there's not action. You can declare things in God, but if you're not living holy and you're not living right and you're not living on where God wants you to live, you're open. You're open for the enemy to attack you. Wow. So we got, you know, it's being girded. You know, you think about the armor, the feet, the peace of God. You know, it's one of the things I hate seeing Christians. I sound like a hick, don't I? I hate seeing Christians that don't walk in peace. It's something I figured out a while back. Because Jesus said, "My peace I leave you. My peace I leave you." So he left something. He left the Holy Spirit. That's in me. You guys, it's in you. It's working in you. It's working in you. My peace I leave you. I'm not called to be uneasy. Yeah, I just stress. I'm not called to live a life of stress, because what happens is it opens up the opportunities for the enemy to come in. You know, can I tell you, you can settle yourself in the Lord. Sometimes, you know, for me, I had to learn how to settle myself just by setting. You know, that sounds kind of wild, doesn't it? I had to learn how to set. Stop and hear from the Lord. Because, you know, in my restlessness of who I am, as you know, I like to go. I like to, you know, I mean, I had to learn how to settle myself and have peace. Choose peace. My peace I leave you. As John 14, 27, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give you. So we're not looking for the type of peace that the world can give, but the kind of peace that Jesus gives. Praise God. Minister, just go ahead and come to the keyboard this morning. You know, I think about the full armor of God. It's you know, Paul said in verse 18, you know, and I vaguely covered it, and I'll go more details, I know, next service, but, you know, in verse 18, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, the armor of God, let's go ahead and stand on our feet. The armor of God is, you know, I remember preaching recently, you know, it's the importance of putting on the armor. You know, there's the revelation of knowing that you actually have things in God. You that you're girded with an armor. All these things work together. All the armor that we get suited up in, they work together. There's a real working of every piece being put on. It's like peace. The words, it's how I fight spiritual battles. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's how I put righteousness, you know, righteousness on. Living before the Lord, living in His promises. The helmet of salvation. Protecting my mind. It's a matter of literally putting it on. It's like, I believe that this truly, I see it because, you know, the one thing that I want to tell you is that begin to recognize the places where the enemy might try to flow into your life through the distractions, through the discouragement. That's not from God. Somebody needs to hear this today. See, that those things aren't from God. You know, is God testing me? No. No, those things are pulling you away from God. There are tests in life, but a lot of times people have issues discerning between what is God and you know. You see, you know, guys, understand, God gets all the credit for all of it. If somebody is killed in a car wreck, yeah, it's God, you know. Never the enemy. It's never something else, right? Why would God do this? That's how the world likes to flip things around. Your personal and devotion right now to the Lord is, I want to tell you, as your pastor, is critical. It's very critical. It's very critical. Same for me. You know, I believe everybody in here is you're linked to somebody. If you're linked to people in this house, you're linked to people in this church. Whether your kids, whether your cousins, family, whatever it might be. There's a release. There's a release of God's Spirit flowing through His body right now. He wants to flow through you. Praise God. Verse 18, you know, Paul says this. He concludes praying with, you know, it's another piece of the armor. It's prayer. Don't push off prayer. This isn't the hour we push it off, but this is the hour that we press into it at greater levels. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful. What are we watching for? What do shepherds watch for? Sheep. Men, you're shepherds of your homes. Men, did you hear that? You're shepherds of your homes. If there's not a man in your home, women, you're that shepherd too. We're shepherds. We're watching out for the sheep. We're watching for his coming. Amen. Stand. Stay standing. I can't say that enough. Stay standing. It's not the time of retreat. It's not the time of, well, the grass is greener on the other side. You stay standing. Stay standing. You fight. You fight spiritual things with spiritual things. You fight. You don't fight this enemy. You'll waste your time. How do you fight distractions? You get focused. How do you fight discouragement? Guess what? Can I give you this? You get encouraged. Guys, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You know how you do that? This is what the Word says about me. It's who I am. I am the head and not the tail. I'm blessed. I'm this, I'm that, according in Christ. You read Ephesians. Jump into Ephesians this week. You want to know who you are. That's the connecting with knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. It starts in chapter 1 and doesn't end until chapter 6. So I believe it's probably one of the greatest. I don't know. There's just so much there. Underline in Christ in your Bible. How many times? I don't know how many times. 27 or 37. I can't remember. Praise God. I know there's something in this word for somebody this morning, and I don't know who that is. Just bow your heads this morning.